It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the Assembly wraps up its last scheduled floor period of the two-year legislative session, we take note of the bills that gained traction, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jack Kelly is here, State House reporter for the nonprofit investigative news outlet Wisconsin Watch. Jack, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, let's take stock, step back for a moment as the Assembly has wrapped up its session. What may be the most consequential legislation that you saw passed here by the Assembly?
Man, it has been quite the biennium, I would say. The state has done, and lawmakers have done so much. If we think back to last summer, they passed a bill that transformed how the state provides aid to local governments. They did an enormous package to ensure the Milwaukee Brewers would stay in Wisconsin. Of course, they passed a budget. They made major investments in K-12 education, as well as the voucher school program. It has been a busy year and change at the Capitol since they got back to work for this session in January of last year.
And then there were the election maps, of course, that the legislature passed and the governor signed. Would you consider that to be also something that was pretty monumental here?
Oh, Kate, I can't even believe I didn't bring those up. Yes, I think that the new legislative districts are going to be transformational for Wisconsin. I mean, it sets us up in November to not only have another highly consequential presidential race here, key to determining who's going to be in the White House come January 2025. We have a U.S. Senate race where Tammy Baldwin is seemingly going to get kind of her strongest challenge since she's been in the Senate. And for the first time in a decade, many, many, many Wisconsinites are going to vote in a legislative race that is competitive, where their vote really has an impact on the outcome of an election. And I think that is so significant because, well, everybody knows who the president is. Many people are familiar with who their members of the congressional delegation are. The people who I would argue have the most profound influence on your life on a day-to-day basis are lawmakers here in Madison who work in the Capitol building here. They pass the state budget, they dictate things on the state level. And I would argue that, those folks actually have much, much more influence on the day-to-day happenings in Wisconsin than who's in the White House.
Well, turning to the floor session, one Republican-backed bill that would unlock $125 million in approved state funding to address toxic chemicals, PFAS. The bill was approved by the Assembly last week. Why do Republicans support this bill?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Republicans have insisted on the bill in its current form. So for some context, this bill is opposed by legislative Democrats. It also seems like the governor is likely to veto it. And that opposition is largely rooted in what critics would say provisions that would limit the DNR's ability to enforce cleanups or hold polluters accountable, whereas Republicans have insisted that those provisions, which maybe would limit enforcement of cleanups for PFAS emitters or PFAS polluters, are necessary to protect what they call innocent landowners, who are people like farmers, for example, who were spreading manure, sludge, or whatever on their property, not knowing that it contained forever chemicals or PFAS, and ended up spreading that contamination from their property across property lines. And there are some really specifics in the bill that they say make those kinds of provisions really necessary. But that has been the big kind of hang up between legislative Democrats and the governor and Republican lawmakers so far on this process.
Talking state politics with Jack Kelly, State House reporter at Wisconsin Watch. You can join in with questions and your perspective along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jack, in October, with Wisconsin Eye, Governor Evers said he was skeptical about the PFAS bill over provisions that would limit the powers of the DNR.
Yeah, the Department of Natural Resources that has the ability, and frankly, I think somewhat limited ability to deal with this issue, and to hamstring them on this issue, which is probably the most important issue that they need to be working on, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Can you elaborate a bit more on the governor's reservations with this legislation?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is really rooted in what you know, I guess Republicans would refer to as kind of protections for these so-called innocent landowners. And in many instances, these folks are people that probably fit that bill. You know, they bought a property that was had PFAS-laden soil on it or whatever it might be. But I think that the governor is hung up by this because it basically would hamstring. It would prevent the DNR from being able to enforce the state spills law in a certain way and clean up in a certain way. I mean, he has said that throughout the process. He reiterated it last week to lawmakers, and it really does seem to be something that's going to hang it up. And it's really interesting because, you know, they got to an agreement to some degree over the summer
in the budget.
In the budget, exactly. Yeah, they wanted, the Republicans created this $125 million fund to address this issue that is affecting more and more Wisconsinites. And then, you know, in the 7 months since then, they've not been able to come to an agreement on actually how to spend the $125 million.
Which leads me to ask, if Evers carries through with a veto, what would happen to the funding without legislation?
My understanding would be that it would just stay put until they could come to an agreement. And I'd have to, you know, dig into it a little bit more with some of the policy experts. But, you know, it's unclear to me if it would just be available indefinitely or if they'd have to renew the $125 million, so to speak, in the next budget process. But, you know, if they don't pass legislation to direct it, it's not going anywhere. I mean, of course, the Joint Finance Committee could take action and direct the money to certain projects. The governor has asked the committee to do that, but it so far has been resistant. And of course, the committee is controlled by Republicans, and they maintain a 12-4 majority on that committee.
Jack Kelly is a State House reporter for the nonpartisan investigative news outlet Wisconsin Watch, and you can be part of the conversation about state politics. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective. The number is 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Assembly wraps up its floor work this legislative session. We have analysis from Wisconsin Watch State House reporter Jack Kelly about the bills and the constitutional amendments we'll talk about later that advanced, and recap a bit of political developments along the way. And you can be part of the state politics discussion. Call in with a question, share thoughts. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Jack, talking about the tax cuts, the Republican-backed $2.1 billion plan is now on Governor Evers' desk. And if signed, the cuts would increase the state's child care tax credit. What are some of the highlights here of the tax cut proposals?
Well, let's be clear, this is the third tax cut proposal of the biennium. I'm pretty sure they tried to do it in the budget. They passed a different bill. They tried to do it in the budget. The governor vetoed large portions of that. They passed a separate package. The governor vetoed that. And now they're back with a four-bill package, like you said, totals up to $2.1 billion. That maybe could get the governor's backing. He has hinted that he might support some pieces of it, but maybe not all. So you mentioned the child tax credits. It would significantly expand those tax credits for filers with kids. I'm pretty sure it would increase the credit from For families with one child from $3,000 to $10,000. And for families with two or more kids, the credit would increase from $6,000 to $20,000. So that's pretty substantial. It would also expand the state's second lowest tax bracket, which is at a rate of 4.4% for state income tax, to cover more than 1 million people who earn between $19,000 and $150,000 a year. That's pretty substantial. That is certainly probably the income range that a lot of folks think of when they think of, kind of middle class families. The current income ceiling for that rate right now is only $37,000 a year. So that is quite the expansion. And another one that Republicans are really really bullish on is it would make up to $75,000 of retirees' income tax exempt. So if they refer to it as tax-free retirement here in Wisconsin. And Republican lawmakers are pitching this as a way to keep people in Wisconsin when they finish their careers. Though, I guess maybe there is an argument to be made as well that it's not necessarily income tax that is driving people away. There are things like Wisconsin winters that maybe drive people to other states.
So, how much would these bills spend down the surplus?
I mean, it's always a bit of a moving target. But the surplus is a little bit less than $4 billion at last check. This bill is coming in at the $2.1 billion range, and a tax cut like this, especially if let's say he were to sign the expansion of the second lowest bracket, those a tax cut like that is always a little bit more expensive in the fiscal year that it is signed into law, or when it first is, like the first year is always the most expensive, and then it will level out a little bit. But yeah, it would definitely bring down it would bring down the surplus quite a bit. And it's interesting to think about. This is one of those moments where the surplus probably won't be there forever, even though a lot of us have been writing about it, talking about it for a couple of years now. And could potentially put people in a tricky position. And I think the governor is weighing this as, if the state or the economy hits less ideal financial circumstances, if you take some steps now, do you find yourselves having to backtrack in the future, which undoing or unwinding a tax cut is obviously incredibly unpopular.
Well, before we move on, I'm just curious what your thoughts are on Republicans chunking up these tax cuts into four multiple bills. What do you make of that strategy?
I think that they wanted to present the governor with something that he felt like he could sign, and to do it in four bills instead of one bill with all of the provisions stuffed into it, there's a chance that he will sign some of these things. It remains to be seen. Obviously, he's been a big advocate for and has pushed a lot for trying to bolster the state's childcare sector. Like these tax credits for kids, might be a way to do that because it would help, families be able to put aside some money to pay for things like childcare. So I guess it remains to be seen. The ball is in the governor's court on this one, but I think that the Republican approach of splitting it up into different pieces was intentional, to present him with things that maybe he felt like he could sign, but not wanting to hang up one piece of it. Not willing to sacrifice
Sacrifice.
multiple pieces of the package for if he's hung up on one of the provisions.
Jack Kelly with us, State House reporter at Wisconsin Watch. As we talk about state politics and legislative developments, you can call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Nancy in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi, what would you like to bring up?
I am wondering whether when the total specific amount of money is allocated to the university, if the governor, when he finds out that a specific sum of that money is going to be used for a purpose that he considers to be either outrageous or just not a figure that is just not acceptable to him, does the governor at that point have the right to veto that specific amount of money that has been allocated to the university?
Nancy, thank you. What control does the governor have in, specific projects? I think Nancy is talking about for universities of Wisconsin.
Yeah, so it kind of depends on where you're at in the process. Wisconsin's budget process is kind of complicated and happens on the two-year basis. So there's things like the capital budget where the governor can propose building projects, et cetera. So, in his most recent capital budget, there were things like a new UW-Madison engineering building that lawmakers took out. The governor has his partial veto during the budget process that he can strike provisions that, lawmakers put into the budget. Obviously right now there's been a lot of talk. The UW system has struck a deal with Republicans on some DEI programming on college campuses here in exchange for getting some of those building projects signed off on. And so lawmakers actually in the assembly last week approved a bill that would fund several of those projects, UW-Madison Engineering Hall being the biggest one. There's also some money in there for buildings on other campuses and to remove them. So I guess the answer to the question is the governor's veto power is kind of dependent upon the type of legislation and the timing of the legislation.
You mentioned vetoes of the bills that have passed the legislature, especially this week. Which are most likely to be vetoed by Governor Evers?
Yeah.
In your crystal ball.
There will be quite a few, I imagine. It was definitely one of those moments where you're at the point of the legislative session where, lawmakers were taking action to actually get some things done. Mm-hmm. There are certain things in a cycle that you just have to do. And then there are moments when you have, lots of messaging bills. And, I think on Thursday last week, they had 90 bills on the agenda. And so they're passing all sorts of things. And I'm sure that there will be any number of bills that he vetoes. I actually think it's really interesting to see it's not even so much the dynamics of what the governor is going to veto in this moment. It's what is the Senate
willing
to take up?
What is the Senate going to take up? And it's one day, right?
Right. Yeah. And so, the biggest one being probably right now are some of these election-related things, particularly a bill that would allow clerks to start processing absentee ballots on the Monday before Election Day. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that in the Senate's, kind of final floor day.
Well, the election workers would not be allowed to tally the ballots from what I understand. But, during early canvassing, what is the distinction about processing absentee ballots here?
Yeah, so right now under Wisconsin law, you can't start processing absentee ballots until polls open on election day. So that's 7 a.m. here. In the year, obviously in 2020, this was something that was very popular, remained very popular in 2022 for people to cast a ballot by mail. And it just creates an enormous amount of work for election officials on election day, especially in communities like Milwaukee, Madison to some degree, where you have large centers. And so this bill would basically allow the processing of, they call it canvassing and absentee ballots to start early. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? I mean, it effectively is just preparing the ballots to be counted, right? It's a process. You have to inspect the absentee ballot envelope to make sure that the witness information and the witness signature requirement is fulfilled, and you have to open the envelope, you have to take it out, you have to get the ballot nice and prepared to be able to run it through a tabulator, and this bill would allow clerks to start that processing at 7 a.m. on the Monday before election day, which basically gives them a whole day of being able to do processing without having to worry about running, if you're a city like Milwaukee, a ton of polling places and managing a ton of election workers. And assembly Republicans are on board. They're imploring their colleagues in the Senate to do it. The governor is on board. Clerks really, really like it, especially clerks in large communities. But Senate Republicans don't seem like they're going to be playing ball. And it's not clear that it's actually going to get a vote on their final day.
Well, Jack, thank you for bringing us up to speed. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Jack Kelly is a State House reporter for the nonpartisan investigative news outlet Wisconsin Watch. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.